Welcome to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, soap making, small business, and so much more. Let's get dirty. Welcome back to the Dirty Heifers Podcast.
Today's sponsor of the Dirty Heifers Podcast is Warm and Fuzzy Soapery. You can find them at warmandfuzzysoapery.com because life is short. Use the good soap. You deserve it.
We're diving into a topic that all small business owners can relate to, equipment and suppliers. Whether you're just starting out or scaling up, making the right decisions about your tools and materials can make or break your business. We'll be sharing our personal experiences from our game-changing slab mold to our supplier mishaps and red flags to watch out for. But first, it's time for our word of the week. Jesse, your challenge today is a word I'm going to hold up a sign. I'm going to give it your best shot just by reading it.
I'm going to screw this up. Tutelage.
Tutelage. Okay. Now, would you like to hear it in a sentence, or do you want to attempt
it? No, hang on. I got it.
Oh, no.
He tooted on the ledge. The definition is it a fart or a shart?
It's not even close.
Okay.
That one was too easy.
Margaret messaged me earlier. She's like, you got a word? And I was like, I think Jesse's going to know this one, but we'll still try it.
So here's the actual word in a sentence. You ready?
I've heard it before. I just have no clue what it means.
Oh, well, I'm gonna put in a sentence, and I don't think the sentence is going to help you at all, but go ahead. After years of trial and error, we finally mastered our slab molds under the tutelage of experience. So what do you think it means? Oh, and stop. Still... Hold on a second. While you're thinking. Now, just like in Pee-wee's Playhouse, if you hear the word of the day, I want everyone to cheer. Not just you two, not just the three of us. I mean everyone who's listening. If you hear the word of the day, I want you to cheer. Even if you're out in the world, if you hear that word, go ahead.
Be in Walmart and hear tutelage go, yay!
Exactly. Woo! People look at you like you're out of your mind.
I've got to get some weird looks.
So now that you've heard it in a sentence, what do you think it means?
Read it in a sentence again. Because okay. I done forgot.
Squirrel!
Squirrel.
After years of trial and error, we finally mastered our slab molds under the tutelage of experience.
Something about learning.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, Shauna, since it's your word, do you want to...
Yes, the definition is instruction, especially of an individual, a guiding influence, or business under the tutelage of a new director, things like that.
It I can still also think be, my definition's better.
It can also be the act. You would. If it involves gaseous exhale. Anyway, the other definition is the act or process of serving as a guardian or protector.
Right.
So like a mentor, kind of.
Yes.
Kind of like what Margaret like does every single day.
Right.
You're so, the tutor. To be under somebody is like the tutelage. Hang on a minute.
Tutelage would be the act, like what's happening, right?
That's what she said.
All right, so let's get into this episode.
We got to start the counter now. That's one.
Oh. All right, so it's my turn, right?
Oh, right. Your turn.
The redneck word of the
day.
Oh,
and we have a jingle for it, too.
All right. Hang on. There it is. My redneck southernism of the day is tote one.
Can you say that slower?
Tote one.
Tote one. All right, I'm going to take a guess. Them.
All right.
This is one I've never heard. Tote one. I'm going to think it's got something to do with, like, carrying something somewhere. No. Off. Totally off.
Right. Well, kind of in a way. Would you like me to use it in a sentence?
Yes.
An English one, please.
Don't know it. So, if that youngin' ain't got them dishes washed, by the time I get home, they gonna tote one.
So they're gonna be punished.
I'm gonna guess now, maybe a slap on the behind or something.
Gonna tote a butt whooping.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Typically, when you say tote one, typically butt whooping in a more profane sense goes after it. So the more clean way to say it is, you're going to tote one.
All right.
I mean, you could put that together with tutelage and tote one. And
yay! Yeah. You don't do good with this tutelage and you're going to tote one.
No, it's just me.
I was going to say, your definition of it, the gash is...
Oh, yeah.
The gash is... you're going to toot
you
one.
You cut a tutelage one more time and you're going to tote one. Told y'all I had a good one this week. I knew y'all never heard.
That was definitely.
And the thing's gonna edit that out. That's rude.
Not necessarily, because this week I think I tried to pay a little bit more to as I'm at it. I'm about halfway through last week.
So. No.
that's just puny.
We're having a barnyard fight here now.
All right, that chicken sounds like it toted one.
Or it got toted.
It got toted.
Oh wait, are we doing for both words?
Why not?
Sure. Okay. I like the shimmy.
Do the Margaret thing.
All right. That's pretty much how I dance at weddings in my chair.
The Margaret Shuffle. All
right, so let's talk about equipment, right? So our first major upgrade was a slab mold, right? And that was a total game changer, and we still use it today. Looking back, it felt like we were under the tutelage of trial and error. Woo! As we figured out the best way to scale up. Oh, yes. I am going to work tutelage.
Woo!
Into the entire episode. But, yeah, we also invested in things like our bath bomb press and the giant lip balm tray to go from making 50 lip balms at a time to 300 lip balms at a time. But you gotta know when to start doing that. You know, I was making lip balms. I felt like I was making them every week because I just happened, you know, they were selling out. And now I don't have to make them every week. I can just make one giant batch, right? And that's really about scaling up. But finding that equipment, where do you find it? How do you know where to get a lip balm tray or that even one exists?
Or how to pick out a good one.
How to pick out a good one, right? So that's where I did Facebook groups, just Google searches. And then I would do a Google search and then narrow down what my choices were. And, you know, by reading reviews, looking on whatever. But I trust reviews, but I also don't trust reviews. So then I go into soaping groups on Facebook and specifically search for company names to get people's in the same business, their opinions. What do you guys think of that?
No, I mean, I absolutely. Have, so,
yeah, I don't make lip balms. So.
Well, I mean,
no, but she's talking about in general.
Like, in general, like to find a mold, you see, how many times do you see, who makes this kind of mold? Or do you know anybody that makes that kind of mold? You know, like you're going to find that information in a Facebook group. So whatever your business be, whether it be soap or woodworking or
tumblers,
whatever, you should be looking in a Facebook group and getting to know what's going on in your industry, because you get a lot of tips and tricks from that.
Right. Yep. It's not just Facebook, though. I mean, like you can do it on Reddit. There's always every topic on Reddit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I avoided it for years, but pretty much everything I search now, I'll come up with a Reddit thread about it.
Everything has a Reddit thread.
And they will be brutally honest about whether or not it's good, because a lot of these commercials are super convincing. Mm-hmm. And things look like they're really high end, and then you get it and it's not. So it's just as having a seizure over there.
Well, speaking about, you know, high end.
My brain itches.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, you got a budget too.
Right.
So yeah. No matter what your business is, you're budgeting, or even if you, like when we first got into it, we had no budget. So I would look at the commercials, I'd look at the cutters and things like that. And John made our first cutter. He made our first single bar cutter. So, you know, there,
I did too.
And I'm sure, you know, you rednecked something, right?
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Sure did.
Exactly. And so did we. We, you know, until we could afford something good. And the equipment that you're buying for a business is not the same kind of equipment that you would buy for a hobby.
Hobby, right. Right?
You've got to get something that's going to be durable. It's going to last for a long time. And those are going to be things that are much, much pricier. So you want to make sure that you have the right, you know, the right suppliers, yep. right? And then once you research a supplier, then do you ever have any, like, here's one thing that happened, twice it happened, right? So we did our cutters, our multi-bar cutter was Goodspeed, and they're not in business anymore. They just disappeared.
Yeah, mine's not.
For good reason.
Right? Mine's not.
I get why.
I mean, mine's Goodspeed too, so.
Yeah, and then our slab cutter was for Craft Sick.
For Craft Sick, yeah. Right. And they're gone.
And they're gone too. So, I mean, thankfully July has, you know, picked up on the
mantle.
She's picked up the mantle and she's toting it up.
Under the tutelage of the originals.
Y'all are having way too much fun with a word that's got toot in it.
Like you wouldn't.
Oh, definitely.
Like you haven't.
But, I mean, and those are things that I don't need anymore. I mean, once you have one, you don't really... Right. I mean, unless I wanted to get a different size, which I probably could use a multi-bar cutter in my guest size, because I do a lot of those.
If you find one, let me know, because I also was looking at that.
Yeah.
You talking about like a thin one?
Like half inch or something like that.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
I've seen some people have them, but I also think that those would be much harder to push through too, right? Because there's many wires.
Hang on,
because there's so many wires.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It would be a lot more resistance. More energy to push that through.
Well, it's so small.
Yeah, you know, that almost looks like a bread cutter.
Totally does.
Right?
And it needs a wash.
Yeah, so, but, you know, finding a supplier is a great thing. And you're going to get some honesty in those Facebook and Reddit groups. Yeah.
Well, the other thing people run into is every once in a while, it seems like some of these suppliers go off the deep end. Have you seen, like, all of a sudden they're sending out, like, bizarre emails? Or accusatory emails.
I was going to talk about that. Like, what's a red flag for you for a supplier? And you're saying something like that, going off the deep end.
There's one I saw when I was on some of the Facebook groups. There was one who started sending out some bizarre emails, and I had never used that supplier. And as a result of seeing that, I never will.
I think I know what you're talking about, because I have it written down. I'm not naming names, but are you talking about the emails of "we don't steal your credit cards" or "we don't" that one?
No, I'm talking about the emails of, like, if you leave a bad review, they're going to cancel your order.
Oh, I am not familiar with what you're talking about.
Oh, is that edit this out? Is that
yes?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I quit using them.
That it's the same company then. I'm talking about. I was getting emails because I did use them. And again, I'll edit out the name. But I was seeing in the Facebook groups that, hey, every time I use this company, my card gets compromised. And that's when they started saying, sending out emails saying, this is not true, this is a Facebook rumor, blah, blah, blah. But twice when I used them, twice. I got calls from my credit card company a week later. Hey, you're getting all these weird charges. And It was the only thing.
Something's not secure.
Something's not secure on their end, or they have a shady employee who's messing around, right? So I don't use them anymore. And they were good. Like, their fragrances were good. They were fast on delivery. Their prices were reasonable. But, I mean, that's my credit, my access to my stuff. So that was a red, obviously a red flag.
I never use them, but for whenever I heard that they were sending out these, like, if you leave a non-positive review about anything, we're going to cancel your order or something. It's like,
that's
just bizarre.
That's weird. I don't remember seeing those, but that's so funny that it's the same company.
Yeah.
That we both had those. But thankfully, not funny. I mean, funny, odd. But you saw the red flag and stayed away. Right. I didn't see it until it was too late.
Right.
And I never had any issues with them, but just reading some of the stories and reviews, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was another one that I knew of this supplier, and I don't think I had ever used her. Mm-hmm. But then other people started complaining about they had problems with their order, or things were like, they would open up something and things were spilled all over the place. Mm. And zero customer service.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was weird.
Mm.
That's terrible. Another red flag.
You know, initial reviews were all great, and then...
Yeah. Oh, especially... If you're sending something that could leak, you have to be prepared that it might leak.
Yeah.
And you have to have some kind of contingency for if and when it does leak.
And, you know, make your packaging appropriate for it.
Yeah. I mean, we sell things that, well, like you're doing the liquid soap now, Jesse. Mm-hmm. So that can leak. You got to take preparations. You got to shrink wrap the lid. You got to, you know, do all that to make sure.
I don't shrink wrap. I'll show you what I do instead, just in case it leaks. Of course, I tighten it down like to where it will break before it comes loose. Mm. But then I package it up like this.
Mm-hmm.
So if it leaks,
in a bag.
In a sealed bag.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I do, like, for my body butters, I was doing the shrink ring around it.
But
then you know, if you hold that too long, then it melts the body butter. So
I don't do the shrink
kind
ring
of a juggling act.
I do the shrink ring if it's going to be like on a retail shelf, but I stop doing them for if I'm shipping from home. Mm-hmm. The lids are on tight, and you know, I check the lids. It's just more plastic.
I think I've only had one time somebody complain that something leaked on them, and I replaced their entire order because that's on me, you know.
Exactly.
So another red flag that for suppliers is long lead times. That's an issue for me. Like, if I place an order on a Monday, I expect it to. And I know this is because of Amazon. Amazon, if you order it, you can get. Sometimes I'll order something from Amazon at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's at my house by noon. And I know that's not going to happen when I move out to the sticks. But you come to expect something to be delivered quickly. And if I send you an order and I don't get it for 2 weeks, that's a problem. Because soap makers, you know, we have to plan our making so far in advance. And if I run out of a supply and I have to wait on you for 2 weeks, that's crazy. And I've noticed that it happens mostly with the bigger companies, you know. So if we called, like, and I don't want to say names, but say Candle Science, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get their orders, they're fast, right? But wholesale, not so fast, right?
But I don't think they're that bad, honestly.
They're not that bad.
They were horrible about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. I think it was during COVID, everybody's shipping times became ridiculously long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, and where, and I know you're gonna have to edit all this out.
Yeah.
But when swapped over to an indie brand, then their lead times were just ungodly long.
It's crazy.
But
now they're all under the same same umbrella.
Yeah.
I see it from our end. Like, when you get an order, how long before you're picking that order?
If I'm in town, probably at most a couple days. At most, because of my work schedule.
Yeah.
depending on what I've got going on that day, I've gotten to where I ship out 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. I'll ship out on like. What was that?
That was this.
For the listeners, the balloons suddenly came up on her screen. That's Jessie why we all stopped.
Yeah, she held up and two fingers and it
freaked
made
the peace me sign. Out. I'm like, woo, okay. What was I? Okay.
You ship out 2 days a week?
I ship out on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Okay.
So typically I'm picking orders on Mondays and Thursdays or mm-hmm. Friday mornings like it was this morning. Because Fridays I go to town, I can take it with me. Mm-hmm. You know. So, now if I've got, a huge influx of orders, I'll ship a little bit every day.
Right.
But, you know, if it's just normal, it's Tuesdays and Fridays is when it ships out. Just because I got to have some sort of schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it'll slow down also, like, closer to the holiday, like, in the fall, going into mm-hmm. winter, I think the shipping slows down, too, because everybody's ordering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to get ready. So... in our business, because we have to make so far ahead of time, I would say, like, maybe start ordering your holiday stuff in the summertime.
Well, that's, yeah, so you really have to order months in advance. If uh-huh. you're a soap maker anyway, you should be at least making sure you have your supplies ready by August.
Yeah.
And then right. you're starting to make things. And so you're talking August, September, October. Four months. 4 months in advance. So...
I wonder if they have the same issues in, like, you know, the Tumblr forums and the candles are very close to the soap, so we kind of know how that goes.
Maybe. But, yeah, but then another thing that you should think about when you're picking your suppliers is their pricing. And when I say pricing, I mean you have to include everything in your bottom line. So
shipping, all of it.
Shipping, right? So uh-huh. some companies you think, oh, wow, this is really great. I can't believe how cheap this is. And then you go to put it in your cart, and soap making materials are heavy things. So if yep. you're paying shipping, it's a lot. Like sometimes you can place an order and the shipping is more than the actual
yeah.
order.
Yeah.
But then other companies will just build that price. You'll think, oh, wow, this place is so expensive.
The shipping is padded into the price.
But the shipping is in the... Yeah. So it's free shipping. But so you have to really... We get some things from some places and some things from other mm-hmm. places, yeah. depending on, you know, we keep a running list of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every single time when I start to look at certain ingredients and I'm trying to price it at different places, I put it in the cart and act like I'm about to check out and see exactly how much, if I order that one thing, how much is right. it going to cost me per ounce with shipping? Yeah, but there's, yeah. and someone recently, you know, I was, there's a certain supplier that I can use because I live closer. Jessie cannot because it costs too much for shipping for her, mm-hmm. for the same supplier.
Got great prices, great product.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. the shipping is just too high for me.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
because you're so far away. And recently someone commented on one of my posts. They're like, oh, I want to get this from them, but it costs more. And this other supplier offers free shipping. I was like, do the calculations with the shipping and see how much it is per ounce. And then they did it and they're like, oh, paying for shipping, I still get it cheaper per ounce than I do from getting this other supplier.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well, so yes, you know, some great suppliers, and I'll name them off. Soper's Choice is great. Mm-hmm. Wholesale Supplies Plus, they've got great, you know,
they got a lot of
whatever you think. They've got great raw materials. Mm-hmm. Bulk Apothecary is one of my favorites as mm-hmm. well. And I like Webstaurant.com. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Now, sometimes folks are like, oh, you're not going to buy from this other company. I'm like, it's the same thing. It's just marketed towards restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I go to Restaurant Depot for a lot of my supplies, too.
See, I don't have one of those around me. The closest one I have is New Orleans, and I ain't going to New Orleans.
Yeah, because then you have to figure in the gas.
Yeah, there's a few right near me. That I want to come home. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's one in Nashville. So, although that'll be like an hour drive from where I am, but it might be worth it.
Well, if you go and you stock up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, let's go to the city for the day, stop over at Restaurant Depot, pick up all your olive oils and all that kind of stuff. The airplane.
What was that?
That's a jet going over my house.
Sounded like you had some tutelage going on. But in
wrong
my definition.
Wrong Wait, use what? Of it, but yeah.
Yes.
The redneck use of it.
If only we had been under someone's tutelage when we were navigating our supplier logistics.
All of you listeners are under our tutelage right now.
They are, unless they turn this episode off. We don't stop doing this.
Anyway. Seriously. So, what else do we have about this topic?
How about, just not so much just soap-making equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Other equipment, such as different printers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Computers,
software, such as that.
Right.
In my opinion, it took me a long time to actually knuckle down and buy a thermal printer.
Mm-hmm.
For your shipping labels.
Yeah, right? For my shipping labels.
Yeah, we have that.
And I'm going to tell you, that is a game changer.
Mm-hmm. It is worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Because, before I bought the thermal printer, I was having to print the labels out on, and it was taking up a whole sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to fix it to where I could print two on one sheet of paper. Could not do it.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
So I'm wasting half a sheet of paper. You got to cut them out, which I had a paper cutter. That wasn't a big deal. But you got to cut them out. You got to tape them. It's a headache when you're processing, 200 plus orders a week.
When John was doing it, he wouldn't cut them. He would just fold it.
Yeah. I was getting the labels. It was two shipping labels per sheet and then put it through, and then you just flip it around and put it through again for the next one. But still.
Oh, that's smart too, yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah you can get shipping labels for your printer before you get
you
it.
You just learned me something.
Under my tutelage.
Under your tutelage. We are running this one in the ground.
Oh, yeah. People are going to be like, can you stop the word of the week? I know you've only done it twice. But
it's done. Did we say?
You're going to tote one if you don't shut up about the tutelage.
Woo! Did we mention it was the Pee Wee Herman thing we're doing?
I did. I said that in the
intro.
I
just want to make sure people.
But now, I looked that up, and Pee Wee Herman's was a secret word of the day. But I don't care. We're doing the work
right.
of the day.
We're doing our own way.
But I watched Pee Wee Herman growing up, mainly just the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, no. He had a show.
That was on his show.
I remember the show, but I was really little.
But his wasn't like a woo. It was like a, ah!
Yeah, everybody screamed.
Every
I just
time.
Looked it up real quick. I'll probably drop one in. I'll put a clip of it.
Cher, what are you doing here?
Well, Pee Wee, I just came by to see what today's secret word is.
Secret word? I completely forgot.
Today's secret word is here. Now, you all know what to do whenever anyone says a secret word, right, Cher?
That's right.
For the rest of the day,
whenever anyone says a secret word, scream real loud. Ready? Let's try it.
So, Cher. Are you having a nice Christmas so far?
Oh, yeah, Pee-wee. Christmas is my favorite time of year.
That was so cool, Cher.
Okay. And the you gonna drop one or you gonna tote one, Margaret?
Margaret, did you get a new mouth?
I was gonna say.
Drop a clip,
and I said drop one, and Jesse's face was...
You gonna drop a deuce?
Listen, I was thinking the same thing. I was just keeping it to myself. I have a pretty dang good poker face. Listen, people say some weird crap to me at the hospital, so I'm like,
well, I can imagine you have to keep a good poker face.
Never make it.
You would not.
Nope.
You would not.
That's funny.
But yeah.
Another thing that one supplier did to us once. And I know that this happens a lot because John said that it happened to him a lot in the guitar when he was in the, the music industry, right? We ordered our oils and then they ran out of oils, right? So they, so then I'm waiting for my delivery, waiting for my delivery, waiting for my delivery. It doesn't come. The date comes and goes. We call up. We're like, dude, you know, where's my order? And they're like, oh, well, we ran out, so we're only shipping out if you ordered 500 pounds or more. And we were like, what? So,
and they didn't even notify you?
Nope, no notification, no nothing. And so what John said was that what they do is they take the bigger... How did that one happen?
You get a thumbs up or something? So,
they take the bigger orders, you know, like the bigger companies, the ones that are going to buy 500 yeah. pounds, and they're, you know, like, forget the little guys. They don't mean a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fill the orders of the big guys, and that was it. So that was a problem. So we haven't used them since then.
Yeah. The fact, I mean, just to not even tell you, that's...
Yeah.
That's shady.
That is shady, right? Well their shady. Thing was, well, as soon as it comes back in stock. Well, and my thing was, break up one of the 500-pound things and you can help, you know, 25 people instead of
right.
the one person that you're fulfilling their order.
Right.
Yeah.
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 I haven't run into any shady suppliers at all. Just, I guess I've just been lucky. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've heard some reviews of some of them.
How about this? Like, what about when you are buying your equipment, right, that you should really do the research and not just go for whatever's the trendy thing, the thing of the day,
yes.
right? So you think about it, like, you see, like, if you look into, just say, the bath bomb community, right?
Mm-hmm.
One person does the Golden Girls, and then... Everybody's selling Golden Girls. One person is selling
the toaster.
Then everybody's selling the toaster. So, like, it's hard when the item yourself changes all the time. But, like, things like the column mold with the pull throughs and things like that. Of course,
yeah.
I bought all those. Right? I don't know mm-hmm. if you did either of you.
I have them too.
I have them. They're great. They make gorgeous, gorgeous soap. But it's very niche, you know, it's very, very specific. So when you're going to invest in yourself and your company, make sure that it's something that's going to be
profitable
and profitable, right? Now, I'm not saying don't go get those trendy things, but when you're first starting, hold the trendy things until you're, you know.
Right.
Till your tutelage is over.
Woo! Yes.
I mean, tutelage is never over, is it? I mean, we're still learning. I'm still learning.
Woo. Yeah.
Right. Depends on how much Taco Bell you've had.
Or you can just avoid Taco
order.
Bell.
I just had an order come through.
Woo. Yes. Woo. We got an order. What about, have you guys had the experience of negotiating prices or your MOQs?
MOQ.
MOQ, your minimum order quantities.
Oh, I do have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so right after, this was before the TikTok commercial or anything like that, they mm-hmm. had me up on billboards, 3 billboards throughout the state. None of them were down here, not one.
Hmm.
They were all like, 4 hours north.
Mm-hmm.
And they had me in newspapers across the state. This big whole page thing. Well, I got a phone call one day from a guy that is a oil supplier from the northern part of the state, Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ready to go. He wanted to sell me some base oils. He went and checked, and everything that I used, he had.
Right.
Then, you know, he said, well, just tell me what the quantity you would need per month. He said, we'd make you a delivery once a month. And I'm like, and I told him, I said, dude, I said, just because I was on a billboard does not mean I make as much soap as you think I make.
Right.
No, it'll be okay. Okay. I sent him my list of what I go through in a month.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't enough?
Crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets. Y'all know me. I gave him a week. I called him back.
And
I told him I didn't appreciate being ghosted.
What was his reply?
It's like, well, yeah, I was busy. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You were so busy, you called me to see about getting business, and then I didn't, yeah.
Right.
You're very communicative until that point, right?
And now that you've made it big, will you go to him? Hell no.
Of course. Nope.
So, like, that's something that's common on sites like Alibaba and things like that, where you're dealing with the factory directly, and they are, you know, this is the price, but you got to order 500 of them, or you have
right.
to order 1,000 of them, or yeah. you have to, whatever. So, but, and then you can, you can sometimes negotiate, well, I don't need 1,000. How about we do 750? Can you send me some of those? That's not something that's typical for soap makers, unless you're doing something in bulk, like soap dishes uh-huh. or like the Sisal bags, the soap saver bags. You could get those from there. You can get those little car freshy things.
Oh, I ain't thought about that.
Yeah. But those that's something that, I mean, I don't know how the tariffs would affect that now, but.
Well, that stuff's going to come from China, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. But.
But no, I've never had that from some of these other, I think a lot of these companies that we tend to use, they're geared towards the smaller maker.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point when you get towards the level of someone else we know, you're going for a different league after that.
Yeah, I'm sure yeah. we're not shopping in the same suppliers.
Right.
Yeah, she's shopping at more chemical companies. And
yeah.
Right at the oil refineries, probably.
Direct from source.
From
yeah.
the olive grove themselves.
Now, I do know that when you're ordering a certain amount of certain quantity of things from certain suppliers, you can negotiate like mm-hmm. pallet shipping.
Probably. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, yeah. Some, when as far as bulk pricing, but a lot of those things, they already have them set. They already have those prices set. There's not much negotiation involved.
Yeah. Something else we haven't covered is shipping supplies.
Oh yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you talked about the printer, the thermal printer, which
yeah.
by the way,
wait, but she's talking about like boxes.
I know,
and...
but we all agree. We recommend get those thermal shop.
Printers. Oh yeah.
Doesn't matter the brand, and they're cheaper now too because they've been around for a couple of years.
What brands do y'all have?
Rollo.
Well, that's what I've got.
Yeah.
yeah. I find now I will say this. Before I bought this one, you remember I bought another one.
Yeah, I thought you had a different one.
And I never got it to work.
Really?
Oh, really?
And I'll tell you, because this is not really like a brand where somebody from this company is listening. I don't care for the Jaden's brand because I could not get it hooked to my MacBook. And my son, who is a friggin' technology and computer whiz, could not get it to hook to my MacBook.
Mine is an older version. It's hardwired.
Oh,
I got the Wi-Fi one.
I got a hardwired one too, because I don't always trust the Wi-Fi for things like that. So.
Yeah.
It works great.
She's shimmying again.
But other like shipping supplies, like labels.
Yeah.
I get the, yeah.
Boxes.
Yeah, now, I used to get my labels for my soaps from, was it onlinelabels.com?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use them.
Yeah. And they were great. Mm-hmm. Good prices. You can even, if you don't want to design your own label, mm-hmm. you can get them to do it for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me personally, I want the more small, I try to support small business where I can and when I can. And there's a printing company local to me, and they handle my labels. They do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's an avenue you could look at, is going that way.
Right.
But onlinelabels.com is also really, really, really good, a really good company to use.
And right. they have the thermal labels now, too.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to know.
They started carrying those a few months ago.
Okay.
I have enough to last me a while, but I was like, next time I get them.
Yeah, we have a ton.
I'm fixing to have to order some. Oh, when I break into my last little pack, that's when I order several packs.
Mm-hmm.
But But that's, I have to check the prices on that because I've been ordering mine off Amazon.
Yeah, that's where I was getting mine too.
I use Avery, and I don't even know what they are price wise because I had the convenience of using their online interface to create the labels. I didn't like the interface for onlinelabels.com. It just was clunky to me.
It was an adjustment when I went from Avery to Online Labels, but when you design your labels on Canva and then pop it in, then you bypass their design entirely and you're just slapping it on the label.
You know, it's funny because John has been designing all of the labels lately, not on Canva, just on his on Procreate. And we're pretty much bypassing the design anyway, but because it stores all of the designs in their system, I already have everything in there. It's just so convenient. Making the change, it would be a job. It would be a task, and I wouldn't trust anybody else to do it. So,
well, for any of it any would be of on those, me. All those things as well. If you want to design your own labels, but you have trouble with printing or you don't have a good enough printer, Avery and Online Labels, you can. They'll print it for you and ship it to you.
So
you can go on Procreate or Canva and design to your heart's content and then say like, well, my printer's not good enough for this. So,
right.
You print it for me.
Or you can do like me and say, screw all of it and get a local company to do it all for you.
Yeah. We had a local company to do our soap boxes. So yeah.
Yeah.
And those boxes look fantastic.
Thank you.
I had another, I'm looking at my notes, and one of the things that John said was one of the orders, one time he ordered palm oil, and they sent us red palm oil. So, not a difference, there's no, I don't think there's...
The sap value's not different.
Yeah, the sap value's not different.
But your alcohol will be, right?
Tell them what the sap value is, for those people who aren't so...
Oh! That's the amount of lye it would require to turn that fat into soap.
Right. So yeah. So all of the numbers were the same. And when we ran it through SoapCalc, the outcome was the same with our recipe. The only difference was we had no idea what it was going to do to the color of the soap, you know? So he called them up and he's like, you sent me the wrong thing. And they're like, okay, just send it back. Send it back on whose dime?
Yeah.
So we just used it because that's expensive. I'm not shipping it to me and then shipping it back to you and then getting you to send me another one.
I mean, they should pay for the shipping.
They should have
paid for the shipping.
Of course they should have.
But I would insist they do. Either you pay for the shipping back or you just...
Fit.
I think it was, John was, I think he waited a little while to open it, didn't realize it right away. One of those things. But we used it was fine. We used it in a soap that was going to be brown, so you wouldn't have been able to tell.
Yeah.
So.
I had one of the companies send me something completely that wasn't even in the same ballpark as the item that I ordered. It was very bizarre. And I went to look back at my order, I'm like... How did they make? I don't know if it's like the item number was close or something, and someone just wasn't looking at the name of it. But I contacted them. I'm like, you just sent me 10 pounds of something I don't even use. And it's like, can I please get the thing I'd ordered? And literally, it was like 10 pounds of a. I think it was like a foaming bath whip or something that I don't even use.
Did they tell you to keep it?
Yeah, and I ordered what I had ordered was like lip balm boxes or something. Wasn't even in the same ballpark.
Right.
But yeah, they're like, we'll send you the right thing. Sorry about that. Bye. And just kept it.
Somebody was picking orders while they was drunk.
Somebody was not paying attention. I mean, that was the only wrong item in there, but it was like, I mean, I literally picked the bucket out and I was like, I didn't order that, did I? Because you just every once in a while I get something weird and I'm like, I actually did accidentally order it. Or order two of something I only needed one of. Have you ever done that? Whoops. Yeah. I do that a lot.
So I know most of us, which I'm not sure about Margaret, but where do y'all order like boxes and mailers and such from?
I have done eBay and I've done Amazon.
eBay.
Yeah, actually, I had a friend.
We do eBay a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, someone recommended that to me. But a lot of them from Uline.
Yeah.
Uline we find to be way more expensive than eBay.
It depends. Yeah.
We on what go you're getting. I don't remember exactly who, but John goes to a specific supplier on eBay every single time.
Well, I would like to get cheaper. The name because.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
But I use the white boxes, so I don't know if they have them.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, we use the white boxes.
Okay.
When I order from Uline, I'll order
lots of stuff.
A lot to make it worth the freight, you know.
Well, but for me, I think, you know, I'm in central Pennsylvania, and I think one of their warehouses is like in Allentown or something, Pennsylvania. So it's not that far. So for me, actually, you know, sometimes, again, you calculate everything with shipping in it to see what's going to be per box.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing was for me when I started ordering from Uline, yes, I could order my boxes off of Amazon for a lot cheaper, mm-hmm. you know, just as much quantity, but...
Quality.
Mm-hmm. When I was using the boxes from Amazon, it was not uncommon for me to get 3 orders damaged a month. Mm-hmm. I'm talking just come in, just completely obliterated. Since I made the switch to Uline boxes, because those boxes are stout.
You're talking about like the indestructible line? They have like indestructible mail. Yeah. That's protect your product. That saves you money too. I mean, you may spend more money in the beginning, but it'll save you money in replacing product.
That's right.
And then there's also the post office, you know, the mailers. Yeah.
Drop kicking boxes.
Right, but I'm talking about the mailers themselves. Those are all free.
Oh, this is a complete squirrel moment right here. But a couple weeks ago, I was dropping some orders off. It was a mixture of UPS and USPS. So I dropped them off at the local, like, shipping store in Wiggins, you know. And instead of going there and the post office, they can accept postal service packages, too. I was mailing something to Canada, okay? And I had the fragile stickers on it. And the lady that runs the store, she said, come here. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you know what the postal workers do with that? I said, what's that? She says, those are the ones they kick and throw. So she told me, she said, don't put fragile stickers on nothing.
Interesting.
So there's your little tidbit from somebody that's been in the business. Don't put fragile stickers on it, because that's the ones they're going to kick and be rough with.
When I package my orders, I think back to like when I was in high school and we did the egg drop challenge thing.
Yes.
You know, you take a raw egg and you have to figure out how to get it from like 30 feet up to the ground without it breaking. And mine literally was, we packed it in a box with a bunch of blown up balloons or something. Like we got the long animal balloons and packed it in there and the egg smack in the middle. I pack my orders like that too. Like I'm thinking about they're going to be throwing this and things are going to get stuck on top of it. And it's going to get dropped and bounced around by machines and such. So my whole point when I'm packing my orders is to make sure things aren't going to shuffle around in there and bounce up and down and such. So,
That's like I trained my kids when they were learning to package orders.
I thought you said you trained your kids. I was like,
yeah, I traded a man. But not for a younger model, for an older model, a lot less trouble.
Big kids, big problems. Little kids, little problems.
But when I was training them, when they were under my tutelage for packaging orders, I would always make them, once they got them taped up, I'd make them pick the boxes up and shake them. Mm-hmm. Says, if something shakes, you got to do it again.
Okay.
It sounds
if it don't
like a pain,
shake.
But, yeah.
If it don't shake, it's good to go.
Yeah. It sounds like a pain, but I mean, you got to protect
it.
It
is a
there.
Pain.
Yeah.
But after you do it a time or two, you got it. You got it nailed.
It does. It's apropos, so, as we would say.
Thinking back, like, what about, because we're talking about, I don't even know, what's the topic today again? Just. Small business and equipment and suppliers and stuff. There's a lot of, what about, you were talking about software before, tracking software, inventory tracking software, tax tracking software. There's a lot of the different ones of those as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was thinking of some of them are free and some of them are you have to pay for, like lie calculators. Soapcalc.net, free, and I don't know anybody that has used it.
I use an app on my phone now.
Oh, instead of?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let me see, what's the name of it? Sapani Calc, and it costs like $3. But it's really good.
See, I have Soap Making Friend. And I like it because it saves your recipes, and then you can make
You've
a product.
You've got a friend in me.
And then
well, so does Sapani Calc.
Yeah. I like that because then if I want to adjust the size of it, I just pull it up, create a new copy.
Soap Making Friend, is that on a laptop or is that on an app?
I think both.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. There's an app and you can do it on a website.
Okay. That's one of the things that you have to... So... You're paying $3 a month. What I don't know what you're paying for Soap Making Friend.
That the Sapani Calc is $3.
Oh, it's $3 and you're done. Okay.
Yeah.
And then like soapcalc.net is free.
It's free.
But
and
you
it works
have to,
good.
Right, but you have to weigh, like, do you want to save all your recipes?
Right.
Or do you want to not? Because soapcalc.net does not save your recipes.
No,
you can print
I've
them
got
out.
I've got a clipboard that's like that thick.
Mm-hmm. We have a
with all those.
Binder.
No, for me, it's just it's nice to save it because then I can play around with it a lot. And if I decide to change one of the things in my recipe because you know price has changed,
yes,
cocoa butter shot through the freaking roof. So now I got to find a substitute for it. So now I can take my recipe, make a copy, and just like substitute out other butters or whatever.
Thankfully,
and play with it.
I don't use cocoa butter in the soap, but I do use cocoa butter in everything else.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I don't use cocoa butter or olive oil.
No. Oil.
Use rice bran?
Sunflower.
Sunflower.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I've switched to sunflower.
So when you're making your decisions about your equipment, you have to decide what features you want. And
that's right.
And how much that's worth to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I went today to buy a printer. A little over a year ago when I moved in this shop, I bought an Epson EcoTank, and don't edit that out.
Everybody loved it in the beginning.
A little over a year of use, and it completely just crapped the bed. Just it will not print nothing.
Oh, yeah, I have one of those, too, in my basement. It's a paperweight.
Well, that one's fixed to be yeeted at the door.
I have an EcoTank, yeah. And just the nozzle's clogged. You have to clean it all the time. Everything, it just didn't work. No. And so when my brother died, I just took his printer.
You need to office space it. I want to see it.
So office space.
What do you mean office space it?
Have you guys not seen the movie Office Space? Oh my gosh, there's a clip I have to send you then. Our listeners are probably going like, oh my gosh, what? The movie Office Space, it's amazing. It's an older one. We might have to do that one too, viewing party.
Yeah. But yeah, it's I'm fixing to chunk it and like get a sledgehammer on it. But I bought a Brother. The printer I had before the Epson EcoTank was a Brother, and it still runs.
Okay.
So I bought a Brother. Now it's a monochromatic, so it won't do color.
Yeah.
But I don't really need that anyhow.
Right.
So I bought that. Don't buy an EcoTank. If you buy an EcoTank and it craps out on you after a year, you can say Jesse told you so.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I just bought ink for that stupid thing too.
And that's one of those like so many people who were making their own labels recommended that.
Yeah.
Now it's a huge upfront investment, but we went with a color laser printer.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of reasons. Number one, just more efficient and reliable, but number two, then you can make actual like waterproof labels and such.
I was going to say, yeah, that's the only thing you know, there you can get smudge proof.
Yeah. Well, I don't do my own labels, so.
Yeah. Well, I've used that thing for like 3 years now, so.
Yeah. Well, it was worth it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Epson Eco Tank is not a sponsor of the Dirty Heifers. Nor will it ever be.
Zero out of ten.
Zero out of ten.
If you'd like to be a sponsor of the Dirty Heifer Show, feel free to give us an email at dirtyheifers@gmail.com.
But not Epson.
Epson, you can go kick rocks barefooted. I hope you walk around back behind your truck and hit your shin on your trailer hitch.
Man, she's getting nasty tonight.
And walk across your yard barefooted in the middle of June, and it's nothing but stickers.
People don't know what stickers are. It's those little nettle ball things.
They're the Legos of the outside world.
They're the Legos of the outside world, but they actually hurt worse.
Yeah. Stickers. We have stickers up here.
Okay. But a lot of people, you'd say stickers, and they think, like, you know, peel it off and stick it on. They don't know you're talking about the balls of doom comes off the trees.
Well, these grow out of the grass down here.
Balls of doom.
Yeah. So, yes.
I think we've pretty much exhausted this topic.
Have we? Have we exhausted ourselves?
Did we actually give a rundown on like cutters and molds and such as that we recommend?
We did not say any companies. We were pretty much just talking in generalities.
Generally. Like for any small business, so.
Okay. I mean, if you want to do something like that, we could.
I mean, I think it's obvious we're all about some westernwalter.ca.
Right. Obviously.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
And as far as my bar cutters, I can't give a recommendation because they're no longer in business.
Right, mine too. And my slab cutter can't give a recommendation. It's not in business. And as far as the supply stores, you did give a rundown of the different ones that you use.
And Micah's, you use Mad Micah's, correct?
I love Mad Micah's, yeah.
And I prefer Nurture Handmade.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Nurture Soap. It's Nurture.
So I do use some Mad Micah's and stuff because I like to just try shit because that's just me. Mm-hmm. But one thing I like from Nurture Handmade, for me in particular, I really like that you could get it in a bag. And I know that sounds weird, but for me, like, it saves space. I can get a container and I can stack the bags in the container so I can have like a blue container and everything instead of having jars all over the place.
Yeah. What I didn't like was the bags. I still have a bunch of the bags, but I didn't like that, you know, to get the mica out, you're sticking your hand in the bag and then your entire hand, at least for me, my entire hand has mica all over it because it's on the sides of the bag. I felt like the jars were,
So it's personal preference, right?
Yeah.
Here she comes. Yeah, gloves.
Meanwhile, we watched you yesterday, and John's like, she ain't wearing gloves.
Coming from the woman who wears gloves as little as possible.
Yeah, but I'll wear gloves to keep crap off my hands.
Yeah, but you were making soap. You were like,
I didn't get no soap.
You were
on
in
my
there
hands.
Stirring and stuff. He's
she
like,
does that all the time.
I know.
I didn't get no soap on my hands. Like,
wow, we covered a lot today. From scaling up with the right equipment to dodging shady suppliers, running a small business is full of lessons. If there's one takeaway from today's episode, it's this. Always do your homework before making big investments.
Thank you to today's sponsor, Warm and Fuzzy Soapery. Where life is short, use the good soap. You deserve it.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to like it, share it, and leave a review. We do have one review. And if you think you'd be a great guest on the Dirty Heifers, reach out. We'd love to chat. Until next time, keep making, keep creating, and keep an eye out for those supplier red flags. And stay dirty, heifers.